Hello, Democrats. Hey, I am speaking, and I would love your attention. There is a black woman at this podium, and I deserve your attention like the 11 people who went before me. Yes, I am speaking.
Good evening, Democrats. Look up here. Three strong black women standing before you. Three black women who, rather than just grabbing a chair, ran for chair.
Te quiero mucho, papa. Gracias por todo. My name is Artie Blanco, Freddie Blanco's daughter. Vote for me for vice chair.
Look at this room, y'all. Truly take it in. This is the Democratic Party.
So I'm going to take a wild guess that none of my audience actually paid attention to or really cares about this, but it is worth noting that over the weekend, the DNC held its elections for new leadership. So this is essentially deciding who is going to be in charge of the Democrat Party behind the scenes, who is going to be fundraising for and trying to win campaigns on behalf of Democrat candidates going into 2026 and 2028. And that's why arguably this is important to pay attention to as a conservative, even if it's primarily to laugh at these people, because what happened at the DNC is a complete joke. But of course, you may be curious, because after the 2024 election, there was a lot of talk about the Democrats introspecting, right? We're gonna learn from our mistakes. We need to rebrand our identity as a party. We need to stand more for the working class. We need to drop the woke identity politics that most Americans find to be toxic. So that whole conversation lasted about 2 seconds. Of course, you saw about a month after that, the Democrats have basically gone back to being the exact party they were before the election. But of course, this election at the DNC was their chance to really change that. So let me take a guess right now, okay, and comment down below your prediction. At the DNC election this past weekend, do you think the Democrats have changed a bit for the better, or have they just gotten more crazy, more woke, etc., etc.? Let me know, and while you're at it, be sure to hit that like button down below and subscribe if you are new. You subscribing is the number one way to ensure that we can keep bringing you these videos. Let's begin the push to 1 million subscribers. And with that said, okay, everyone's bets are in, I am assuming. Well, guys, if you're curious about how the DNC went this weekend and whether the Democrats have learned their lessons at all from anything, here is a prime example. Apparently, it got so chaotic at the DNC elections that they had to stop the election and had like a parliamentarian crisis because there had not been a, quote, non-binary person elected to leadership. That is right. Take a listen.
Rules specify that when we have a gender non-binary candidate or officer, the non-binary individual is counted as neither male nor female, and the remaining six offices must be gender balanced. With the results of the previous four elections, our elected officers are currently two male and two female. In order to be gender balanced, we must elect one male, one female, and one person of any gender. So again, this is what we have to do for this vice chair race. We have to elect one male, one female, and one person of any gender. To ensure our process accounts for male, female, and non-binary candidates, we conferred with our RBC co-chair, our LGBT caucus co-chair, and others to ensure that the process is inclusive and meets the gender balance requirements in our rules. To do this, our process will be slightly different than the one outlined to you earlier this week, but I hope you will see that in practice it is simple and transparent. The order of balloting is designed to ensure equal access to the ballot, regardless of gender identity, as we must elect a candidate of any gender as well as one male and one female vice chair. We will first ask members to elect a candidate of any gender on the first ballot. Any candidate, male, female, and non-binary, can be elected on that ballot.
Okay, so you basically get the point. I don't think we need to play the full video, but this is the DNC. Right, again, we're asking the question, is this a party that has learned from its mistakes? Is this a party that has rebranded its identity? No. As a matter of fact, the supposedly now refreshed anti-woke Democrat Party, and again, I want to be clear to people, You know, you might expect to see this at like a YDSA meeting in Sacramento, California. This is the official Democrat Party. Like, this is the DNC. This is not some type of radical left fringe group that people can say, that's not anything to do with the Democrats. No, this is the DNC. And the DNC has supposedly learned so much from the 2024 election that, again, they had to basically shut everything down and redo all the parliamentarian rules because of non-binary people. Like, it's actually insane. But guys, it should not exactly surprise you that the DNC has not really learned its lessons whatsoever, because this is exactly what they promised they were going to do. This is a very telling video right here from August 21st, 2024, where a DNC speaker said that for the next 70 days, again, right before the election, they have to act normal. And after the election, they can go crazy. So again, proof here that this is exactly who the Democrats are. This is who they've been telling you they are. And there is no proof of a sincere change of heart whatsoever.
We got 70 days to act right, y'all.
That's right.
Now, after 70 days, we can go back getting crazy. Right?
Right. So we knew the entire time during the election, this is exactly what they were doing. Even behind the scenes, they were saying publicly, like, yeah, just rebrand for the election. We're not really serious about being more moderate or being less crazy. This is all to win votes. They, of course, massively flopped on their face because the entire American electorate essentially knew that they were being lied to by the Democrat Party. And now you have them going back to their same exact old selves. Now, of course, as I mentioned, there was actually a DNC election over the weekend. So I guess it is worth pointing out who the brand new, again, refreshed, regenerated leadership of the DNC actually is. Because first and foremost, the new chairperson, you know, and no guys in the DNC, they refer to the chairman as a chairperson. But nonetheless, the DNC has elected Minnesota operator Ken Martin as their new chairperson. Now, what's very interesting and I guess worth pointing out and maybe giving a little bit of credit to the Democrats in this regard is that Ken Martin is actually the candidate who was not favored by the elites of the Democrat Party, like Chuck Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries, and Nancy Pelosi. They were all in favor of apparently his rival, Ben Wilker. So one could say in this regard that, hey, that's proof that the old guard leadership of the DNC is kind of waning and their influence is waning. And sure, I would say that is absolutely true. So I guess credit to the Democrats in that regard. However, it's worth noting that this guy right here, Ken Martin, is no better, because being from Minnesota, this guy is like a big BFF of Tim Walz. He is very similar, frankly, to Tim Walz. So I don't know if like replacing, for instance, the Nancy Pelosi's of the world with the Tim Walz's of the world is exactly going to go much better. But I think really this quote from Ken Martin right here does sum it up, because obviously the DNC and Kamala Harris, etc., in the wake of the 2024 election have faced a lot of criticism from people like Bernie Sanders and Cenk Uygur over at the Young Turks, etc., for like claiming they're against the billionaires, right? The Democrats claim to be this working class left-wing populist party, and yet they're raising the $1.5 billion campaign. They're backed by all of the wealthy people, essentially, in America, with a few notable exceptions. Well, here is the DNC rebrand. Again, just to give you an idea of how insincere and short-lived that was. New DNC chair Ken Martin promises that the party will only take money from, quote, good billionaires going forward. So, of course, they're facing a lot of criticism from their base, like, hey, stop taking money from billionaires because that's what we claim to stand against. And the new DNC chair, trying to appeal to those people, says, guys, we're only going to take money from the good billionaires. It's like, what exactly does that even mean? You know, like nobody knows what that means. And what it basically means is nothing is actually going to change in the new Democrat Party, right? They're still going to take money from the same exact people. They're still going to continue to be extremely weird and strange and obsessed with gender ideology, as you saw there in that opening clip. And the story does not get much better for the Democrats from there, because you cannot even make this up, guys. You know, let's talk about the DNC's vice chair, right? And this is supposedly supposed to be the youthful Gen Z representation that is now in charge of the Democrat Party. And not even lying here, guess who was elected, guys, as the brand new vice chair of the DNC? It is none other than David Hogg. That is right. David Hogg is now in charge of a major part of the Democrat Party. Now, hopefully the name David Hogg rings a bell, but if it does not, I want to remind everyone, this was that crazy, insane theater kid who got very famous by grifting off of the Parkland shooting and the gun control movement and all of that stuff back in 2018. If you don't remember that name, you probably remember the videos like this.
Thank you. I love you all. God bless all of you and God bless America. We can and we will change the world.
You gotta be freaking kidding me. So this is the DNC's attempt to stop being so woke. This is the DNC's attempt to appear more relatable to the ordinary American. It's worth noting, by the way, here, guys, these are the former tweets of David Hogg. So keep in mind, supposedly this party is moderate now. Supposedly this party is going to rebrand because it learned its lessons from last time. Okay, new DNC chair. Let's read a couple of his past takes right here. Number one, abolish ICE. David Hogg has supported abolishing ICE. Defund the police. Number two. Number three, the NRA needs to be designated a terrorist organization for the role that their supporters played in staging an insurrectionist coup. And of course, who could forget this gem right here? If this election is a matchup between Taylor Swift and Ted Nugent, I think it's safe to say I've seen enough. Biden wins the 2024 election. So there you have it, guys. Again, this is the DNC trying to rebrand itself as a brand new party. Yeah, I don't know if David Hogg is exactly going to cut it. But apparently, the argument that David Hogg and his supporters made is that, well, this is a good thing for the Democrat Party because he's Gen Z, right? He's actually only a couple years older than me, right? He's part of our generation. Therefore, David Hogg is going to win back young voters. Of course, I have a major contention with that because, you know, not having young Gen Z faces at your party is not exactly the reason why Democrats have lost. They've always had Gen Z representation. The whole point is that the characters in charge of the youth vote and trying to win the youth vote at the Democrat Party have all been exactly like David Hogg, just like very dramatic, performative theater kids who only appeal to like 40-year-old suburban liberal women, not actually Gen Zers. But nonetheless, here is the argument that David Hogg made in his election speech at the DNC. Yeah!
Are you ready to go on the offense?
Yeah!
Are you ready to go on the offense?
Yeah!
We have to win back our young people. I am the only candidate in this race for any of these positions that is under 30. We had a 20-point shift to the right of our young people. We must show our young people we give a damn about them, that we support them, and we invest in them. I have raised over $11 million in the past year to support the future of our party because I don't just tweet. I don't just talk the talk. I also walk the walk and I knock the knock in doors across the country. But I'm counting on you in this moment right now. I need your support. Please vote for me. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, they're so cringe. That's what people think's gonna win the youth vote. Just because all of these theater kids are young, therefore Gen Z is going to vote for this. No, this is exactly why Gen Z, especially Gen Z men, but also some Gen Z women as well, have moved away from the Democrat Party because this performative, like theatrical act, it's just cringe. Like it's just washed up. Like nobody cares about this. People think it's actually repulsive. And, you know, this video is just so ridiculous in so many ways. You have David Hogg like, are you ready to... And then you have this guy on the right behind him. I forgot his name, but he was one of those Tennessee state legislators who was trying to push the gun control and they committed an insurrection against the Tennessee Capitol. Remember that whole thing that happened back in 2023? But you have him back there. He's like, David Hogg is saying, are you ready? And the guy's like, yay! Yay! So, you know, that's who you have out there. Apparently, the wannabe civil rights activist from the 1960s right here. Apparently, he's going to win the Gen Z vote. Apparently, David Hogg is going to be winning the Gen Z vote. And this person right here, if I'm not mistaken, is that Nikki Fried? I'm pretty sure that's Nikki Fried. Now, if you don't know her, she is the chairwoman of the DNC of Florida. Okay, so that's another point I want to make here, which is All three of these characters that you're seeing, I'm assuming that's Nikki Fried, right? That's what she looks like, if I'm not mistaken. You want to talk about the Democrat Party trying to learn from its past mistakes? Well, I think it's worth pointing out here that all three of these characters have a long track record in losing and getting absolutely embarrassed in elections. Let's start with Nikki Fried. It really does go without saying. She was overseeing the Florida Democrat Party as it notoriously and spectacularly collapsed, because about 4 to 8 years ago, Florida was a swing state. Now it's a solid, arguably safe Republican state. You don't exactly want that person making decisions at your party, but that's who they have. Again, the new rebranded Democrat Party that's going to do so much better. Okay, good luck with that. I would even point out David Hogg. You know, back in the 2018 midterms, he tried to do the whole March for Our Lives thing. It was essentially a big op to get young people and liberals, etc., to turn out in the 2018 midterms over gun control. And they made that a big issue, obviously, as you may remember. Except in David Hogg's home state of Florida, despite the fact that it was in many ways a blue wave year, Rick Scott still won, and so did Ron DeSantis, right? So they, like David Hogg, if you actually want to talk about this, nobody mentions this, but his attempt to try to get Democrats elected in the state of Florida, that failed. And of course, the guy here on your right, whose name is missing me right now, you know he's not done anything in Tennessee in terms of turning that state more blue. So again, I just want to point out, everyone you're seeing right here are proven losers and proven failures in a position where they are supposed to now be trying to win elections. So I just want to say good luck with that. I'll close with these thoughts. Okay, from everything you've seen out of the new DNC, this party is a disaster. This is a party that is in a complete mess. In total fairness to people like David Hogg, I don't know who else the DNC really has to even run the party, because the whole thing is in disarray, right? They're basically a party that has no identity, no direction at the moment. They're lost in the wilderness. And this is all to say that I think Republicans have a very unique opportunity in the 2026 midterms to actually maintain the trifecta. And I know that sounds absolutely crazy. Of course, the common logic would be, at the very least, given the historical trends, Republicans should definitely at least lose the House in 2026, because, you know, the Democrats are going to turn out, they're going to be angry against Trump, whatever. But my whole thing is, under normal circumstances, that may be true. Except let's remember that, guys, we are not running against the Democrat Party of 2018 anymore. Like, literally, this is a listless vessel. They have no direction, no identity, no money, no resources, no nothing. So again, we have an opportunity to do this. The reason why we probably won't is not because the Democrats necessarily had a good year. It's because Republican leadership outside of Trump and sort of his team is so unbelievably incompetent. And that's what you saw arguably in a lot of the House and Senate races back in 2024, where Trump won the election in a dominant fashion. But the Republican candidates are basically like the guy behind David Hogg. Yay! Yay! Just trying to ride the coattails there and ultimately not succeeding. We can't have that. We probably will, but I'm just saying, I want to point that out. The 2026 midterms, despite all of the perceptions of Trump derangement syndrome, are completely winnable for Republicans. Democrats are beaten down. Democrats are demoralized. Democrats have nothing to sell to the American people, as you're seeing right here. The only reason we would lose in 2026, lose anything, is because our own party is incompetent. So let's use this as motivation, guys, as inspiration to get our own act together, because these people are so beatable. They have not learned a lesson. They're not changing whatsoever. So let's go and repeat history. With that said, guys, let me know your thoughts on all of this in the comment section down below. Be sure to leave a like on this video, subscribe if you are new. And until next time, God bless and peace.